Welcome to Zichur Daf Siman Mem. I'm Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Tes Vav. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening mishnah of the 16th perek states that all kisvei kodesh, meaning any sefer from Tanakh, may be saved from a fire on Shabbos, whether they are publicly read on Shabbos, such as Nevi'im, or whether they are not read from on Shabbos, such as Ksuvim. Rashi quotes Rabbeinu HaLevi, who says that Ksuvim may not be read on Shabbos even by individuals because of Bittul Beis HaMidrash. It was a custom during those times to give halachic discourses to the public on Shabbos, since most people were unable to attend them during the week. Now, if individuals were permitted to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos, it's very likely they would not attend the Shiurim in the Beis HaMidrash because they become engrossed in Ksuvim, as they are considered the most engaging parts of Tanakh. Point number two, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds that one is not permitted to read from foreign translations of Tanakh. Now, the Gemara brings a machlokas amoraim in regards to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel regarding whether foreign translations could be saved from a fire. Rav Huna says they may not be saved since they cannot be read from. Rav Chisda says they may be saved because of Bizyon Kisvei Kodesh, meaning it would be a disgrace to Kisvei Kodesh for them to be burned in a fire. And point number three, Rav Huna bar Chavuv asks Rav Nachman if it's permitted to save a Sefer Torah where most of the writing has been erased and there are not a total of 85 letters intact, similar to the number of letters in the Parsha of Yibi and Soa Aharon, and when the Ark would journey. Rashi explains that Rebbe holds that the two psukim in this parsha are considered a separate sefer of the Torah. And since it contains 85 letters, this number was chosen as the minimum number of intact letters necessary for a sefer Torah to retain its kedusha. Rav Nachman answered that it is not permitted to save a sefer Torah that has less than 85 letters. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The opening mishnah of the 16th perek states that all kisvei kodesh, meaning any sefer from Tanakh, may be saved from a fire on Shabbos, whether they are publicly read on Shabbos, such as Nevi'im, or whether they are not read from on Shabbos, such as Ksuvim. Rashi quotes Rabbeinu HaLevi, who says that Ksuvim may not be read on Shabbos even by individuals because of Bittul Beis HaMidrash. It was the custom during those times to give halachic discourses to the public on Shabbos, since most people were unable to attend them during the week. Now, if individuals were permitted to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos, it's very likely that they would not attend the Shiurim in the Beis HaMidrash because it would become engrossed in Ksuvim, as they're considered the most engaging parts of Tanakh. Point number two, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that one is not permitted to read from foreign translations of Tanakh. Now, the Gemara brings a machlokas amoraim in regards to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel regarding whether foreign translations could be saved from a fire. Rav Huna says they may not be saved since they can't be read from. Rav Chisda says they may be saved because of Bizyon Kisvei HaKodesh, meaning it would be a disgrace to Kisvei HaKodesh for them to be burned in a fire. And point number three, Rav Huna bar Chavuv asks Rav Nachman if it's permitted to save a Sefer Torah where most of the writing has been erased and there are not a total of 85 letters intact, similar to the number of letters in the Parsha of Yehi bin Soha Aaron, and when the Ark would journey. Rashi explains that Rebbe holds that the two psukim in this Parsha are considered a separate Sefer of the Torah. Since it contains 85 letters, this number was chosen as the minimum number of intact letters necessary for a Sefer Torah to retain its Kedusha. Rav Nachman answered that it's not permitted to save a Sefer Torah that has less than 85 letters. All right, so now we go to our Simcha Kuf Tes Vav, and we had a lot of suggestions here, just a few. Catacomb, cartoon, ketuba, code, the keto diet, a kid sneezing, katu, or just a general kachu, a cat's toe, a cockatoo. Yehuda Friedman from Lakewood suggested a cottage filled with cottage cheese. But I'm going to go with the suggestion that came from a number of people. We have Uri Berger and Sholem Fried from Woodmere, Lear Moskowitz from Teaneck, Naftali Golombek from Brooklyn, and Menashe Reuben Weiss from Yerushalayim suggested Ketores. Ketores incense, Ketores. So we're going to use an incense maker, someone who makes Ketores, for our simon for Kuf Tes Vav. So thank you, Uri, Shalom, Lior, Naftali, and Menashe. So here goes. The Ketores maker got so engrossed in learning Kesuvim, he accidentally started a fire and frantically tried to save all his Kisvei HaKodesh, including translations, provided they had at least 85 letters. Once again, in slow motion. The Ketores maker, that must mean Ron Duff, Kuf Tes Vav. The Ketores maker got so engrossed in learning Kesuvim, he accidentally started a fire and frantically tried to save all his Kisvei HaKodesh. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 16th Perek states that all Kisvei HaKodesh, meaning any sefer from Tanakh, may be saved from a fire on Shabbos, whether they are publicly read on Shabbos, such as Nevi'im, or whether they are not read from on Shabbos, such as Kesuvim. Rashi quotes Rabbeinu Levi, who says that Kesuvim may not be read on Shabbos even by individuals because of Bittul Beis HaMidrash. It was the custom during those times to give halachic discourses to the public on Shabbos, since most people were unable to attend them during the week. If individuals were permitted to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos, it's very likely they would not intend the shiurim in the Beis Hamidrash because they would become engrossed in kesuvim, as they're considered the most engaging parts of Tanakh. So the ketores maker got so engrossed in learning kesuvim, he accidentally started a fire and frantically tried to save all his kisvei HaKodesh, including translations, which reminds us Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that one is not permitted to read from foreign translations of Tanakh. The Gemara brings Malchokas and Marayim regards to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel regarding whether foreign translations can be saved from a fire. Rav Huna says they may not be saved since they cannot be read from. Rav Chisda says they may be saved because of Bizyon Kisvei HaKodesh, meaning it would be a disgrace to Kisvei HaKodesh for them to be burned in a fire. So the ketores maker got so engrossed learning kesuvim, he accidentally started a fire and frantically tried to save all his Kisvei HaKodesh, including translations, provided they had at least 85 letters. Which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Chaluva asked Rav Nachman, if it's permitted to save a Sefer Torah where most of the writing has been erased and there are not a total of 85 letters intact, similar to the numbers of letters in the Parsha Vayibi and So Aharon, and when the Ark would journey. Rashi explains that Rebbe holds that two psukim in this Parsha are considered a separate Sefer of the Torah. Since it contains 85 letters, this number was chosen as the minimum number of intact letters necessary for a Sefer Torah to retain its Kedusha. Rav Nachman answered that it's not permitted to save a Sefer Torah that has less than 85 letters. So once again, the ketores maker got so engrossed in learning kesuvim, he accidentally started a fire and frantically tried to save all his kisvei HaKodesh, including translations, provided they had at least 85 letters. All right, now it's time for a four blah bach hazara. Daf Kuf Yudalf. So the term Kuf Yudalf is a kayaker. So here goes. The kayaker, that means we're on Daf Kuf Yudalf. The kayaker with tooth pain got distracted sipping vinegar, which reminds us. The Mishnah states that one who has tooth pain may not sip vinegar through them because one may not heal himself on Shabbos, but he may dip food into vinegar in his usual manner, even though he may become cured as a result. Rav Acha bar Papa asks a contradiction, that the Mishnah implies that vinegar is good for the teeth, whereas the Pasuk states, Kachomitz lishinayim ka'ashon einayim, like vinegar is to the teeth and like smoke is to the eyes. This implies that vinegar is not good for the teeth. So the Gemara gives two answers. Either the Pasuk is referring to juice of unripe grapes, which is unhealthy, whereas the Mishnah is referring to vinegar, or both the Pasuk and the Mishnah are referring to vinegar, and the Mishnah is referring to where there is a wound, and the Pasuk is referring to where there is no wound. So the kayaker with tooth pain who got distracted sipping vinegar and smearing rose oil on his loins, which reminds us, the Mishnah states that one feeling pain in his loins may smear it with oil because people often do so, even not for healing purposes. However, one may not use rose oil, and princes, though, may smear with rose oil since they use it during the week. Rabbi Shimon argues and says, Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim hem, all Yisrael princes, meaning that it is mutter for anyone to smear rose oil. Rashi explains that according to the Tanakhama, rose oil is too expensive for most people to be used merely for anointing. Therefore, when they do use it, it's clear they're doing so for the purpose of healing. Rabbi Shimon, however, permits its use because halacha does not distinguish between people based on economic status, permitting something to some and forbidding it to others. So the kayaker with tooth pain who got distracted, sipping vinegar and smearing rose oil on his loins, accidentally went over Niagara Falls and was pulled out of the river by a rope tied in a tightly tied bow. Which reminds us, the first Mishnah of the 15th Perek states that the knots which one is liable for tying on Shabbos are the camel driver's knots, the Kesher Gemalim, and the sailor's knot, the Kesher Sapanim. The Gemara clarifies that these are permanent knots. Rav Meir disagrees and says that one is not liable for any knot that one can untie with one hand. Rav Achanavoy, the brother of Mar Acha, asks what Rav Meir holds in terms of a bow which is tightly made. Is Rabbi Meir's reason to allow a knot which one can untie with one hand only require that one can untie the knot with one hand, in which case one is permitted to tie a tightly made bow, or is his reason because a knot that can be untied with one hand is clearly not tight, but one would be chayav for tying a bow tightly, and the Gemara leaves it as a teku. Kuf Yud Beis. So the simple Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube Master. So here goes. The Rubik's Cube Master, that must mean one doth Kuf Yud Beis. The Rubik's Cube Master, who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces, which reminds us, the Gemara brings three braces that seem to contradict each other on the topic of untying the knots of shoes. The first one states that one is chai v'chatzis, the second one states that one is patra aval aser, and the third states that it is mutter to do so. So the Gemara answers that the three braces are referring to three different cases. The first case we're referring to the straps of shoemakers, and Rashi explains that when making the shoe, the shoemaker inserts a strap into the shoe and makes a permanent knot in order to prevent it from coming out. Since the knot is permanent, he's liable on a derisa level on his chai v'chatas. The second case was referring to knots made by the Rabbanan. The rabbis did not tie their shoes tightly in order they could easily slip them on and off without needing to tie and untie them. They were not permanent knots because during the muddy season, the rabbis would untie them and then tie them again tightly so they would not be pulled off in the mud. Therefore, for untying these types of knots, which are not permanent, but are similar to permanent knots, one is Patur Aval Aser. The third case was referring to the residents of Mechoza who were fastidious in their dress and tied their shoes tightly for a snug fit and untied them daily. So since the knots were not permanent, they were permitted to make. So the Rubik's Cube master who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces and fixing broken sandal straps, which reminds the Gemara notes a seeming contradiction in two cases involving a Maraim whose sandal straps broke, causing the sandals to come up. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was told by Rabbi Abo to take a moist reed that is fit for animal food and thereby not muksa and put it into the sandal in place of the strap. Abai was told by Rabbi Yosef to not even touch the sandal since it has the status of muksa. So the Gemara clarifies that the incident involving Rabbi Yirmiyahu took place in a karmus that wasn't guarded. Therefore, Rabbi Abo was lenient in regards to muksa and permitted him to move the shoe and put it on. In Abai's case, however, the sandal came off in a safe and guarded area, therefore Rabbi Yosef did not permit him to handle it. So the Rubik's Cube master who learned how to manipulate his hands quickly as a shoemaker, untying laces and fixing broken sandal straps, made everybody he competed with feel like a donkey. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera said in the name of Rav Bar Zimon regarding Talmid Chachamim, Im Rishonim b'nei Malachim, Anu b'nei Anashim. If the early ones of previous generations were sons of angels, we are sons of men. Im Rishonim b'nei Anashim, Anu Kachamorim. And if the early ones were sons of men, we are like donkeys. Bo Kachamoro. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, v'shel Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, El Kishar Chamorim, and not like the donkey of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and that of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, but rather like other donkeys. Kuf Yud Gimel. So the symbol for Kuf Yud Gimel is geek. That's Kuf Yud Gimel backward, geek. So here goes. The obsessive geek, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The obsessive geek who folded his clothing 100 times on Shabbos, which reminds us, the second mission on the Daf states that one may fold garments even 4 or 5 times on Shabbos, and one would make the bed on Shabbos night for Shabbos day, but not on Shabbos day for Motzi Shabbos. Rashi explains that it was customary to fold a garment when it was taken off to prevent it from getting wrinkled. Since the garment had lost its stiffness due to laundering, it would become creased if it was not folded. Folding numerous times is permitted, provided one still needs the garments for Shabbos. Making the bed for Motzi Shabbos is prohibited, since one can't prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So the obsessive geek who folded his clothing 100 times on Shabbos and insisted on walking backwards the whole day, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Yeshaya on the subject of how to act on Shabbos. V'chibadito, and you shall honor it, which means your Shabbos garments should not be like your weekday garments. Me'asos rechecho, by not doing your ways, your walking in Shabbos should not be like your weekday walking. M'so chefsecho, from seeking your wants, which means activities that further one's financial affairs are forbidden. The Gemara adds the chefse shemaim, the wants of shemaim, i.e. mitzvahs are permitted. Rashi brings examples such as pledging to give tzedakah and arranging shidduchim. With daber daber and speaking words, your speech on Shabbos should not be like your weekday speech. Rashi understands this to mean that one should not speak about financial matters. Tosfos explained that one should not speak as much in general on Shabbos, even about topics that are permitted. The Gemara clarifies each of these restrictions. So the obsessive geek who folded his clothing 100 times on Shabbos and insists on walking backwards the whole day loved to show people pictures of his recent archaeological trip to Bavel. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a number of Amoraic statements made about Bavel. Rav Ami said that anyone who eats the dust of Bavel, it's as if he's eating the flesh of his ancestor. And Rashi explains that's referring to those that died there in Galus. Reish Lakish said the reason the Bavel is called Shinar is Shekol Meisim Mabel Ninarusham, because all the dead from the flood were dumped there. And Rav Yochanan explained that the reason why Bavel is called Metzula, the deep, is Shekol Meisim Mabel Nitzdalusham, because all the dead from the flood sank there. Daf Kuf Yadal. So the similar Kuf Yadal is a kiddie amusement park. Here goes. At the kiddie park, that means we're on Daf Kuf Yadalet. At the kiddie park, where children got to wear special ash removal clothing, which reminds Rav Acha Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the Torah's source for the appropriateness of changing one's clothing to suit the task at hand comes from a pasuk in regards to removing the ashes from the Mizbeach. It states, Upashas Bagadav, the Lavash Bagadim Acherim, he shall remove his garments and don other garments, meaning he need to put on different garments to bring out the ashes, a less important task. Rashi explains that Hashem considers it honorable to wear nicer clothing for an exalted purpose, and therefore it's appropriate to change out of them before performing menial tasks. And it was taught in the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel that this teaches us derech eretz, that garments that one has worn when he cooked a pot of food for his master should not be the garments he wears when pouring a cup of wine for his master. Cooking the food is a metaphor for cleaning the ashes, and pouring the cup represents the libations on the Mizbeach. So at the kiddie park, where children got to wear special ash removal clothing and dress up as rabbis answering questions, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan state that the criterion for a Talmid Chacham to be appointed a leader over the community is that he should be able to answer a question from any place in Shas, even from Masechta Kala. Masechta Kol is a series of brises that is one of the minor masechtas that are not typically learned in one lesson's master chas. It can be found after Avos. The opening halacha teaches that a kala that has not had the brachas of Nisuin recited yet is forbidden to her husband, like a nida. So at the kiddie park, when children got to wear special ash removal clothing and dress up as rabbis answering questions, lunch was served late in the day, after the outer spoiled leaves of vegetables got trimmed. Which reminds us, in a discussion regarding why the customary shofar blasts blown on Erev Shabbos were not blown on Yom Kippur that fell out on Erev Shabbos, the Gemara points out that Yom Kippur had rabbinic lenience. They permitted people late in the afternoon in Yom Kippur to trim the outer spoiled leaves from stalks of vegetables, it's called Kanivas Yerk, in preparation to chop or cut them after Yom Kippur. This was permitted even though rabbinically one is typically forbidden to make preparations for a weekday. Rashi explains that the rabbis were lenient because the food preparation late in the day, when a person is hungriest, increases the distress of fasting, which is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, the nisim eshnaf shosechem, and you shall afflict your souls. All right, now it's time for a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which stuff you learn about washing hands 3 times in the morning? That's on Daf. Kuftes. Good. Number 2, which stuff you learn that one does not save a worn-out Sefer Torah that has less than 85 letters intact? That's on Daf. Kuftes Vav. Good. Number 3, which stuff you learn that one can fold clothes multiple times on Shabbos if one is going to wear them on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which stuff you learn about an elixir for jaundice that causes sterility and brings up the topic of removing the crest from a rooster? That's on Duff. Kuf Yud. Good. Number 5. Which stuff you learn about the Yom Kippur leniency of Knivas HaYerek, trimming the outer leaves of stalks late in the afternoon on Yom Kippur? That's on Duff. Kuf Yud Dalet. Good. Number 6. Which stuff we have a Malkokas of Ribbon Shimon Gamliel would permit saving translations of Kisei HaKodesh from a fire? That's on Daf. Kuftes Vav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff we have a question what Rabbi Meir holds regarding tying an aniva, a bow, on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Kuf Yudav. Good. Number 8. Which stuff we learn that one cannot sip vinegar if they have sore teeth, but they can dip the food in the vinegar and eat it? That's on Daf. Kuf Yudav. Good. Number 9. Which stuff you learn about the appropriateness of changing one's clothing depending on the task, and it was learned from the Trumas Hadeshan? That's on Daf. Kuf Yudalad. Good. And number 10. Which stuff you learn the difference between knots tied by shoemakers, Rabbanim, and the people of Mechoza? That's on Daf. Kuf Yud Beis. Good. And now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which stuff do we discuss Moshe's defense of Bnei Yisrael at the Chet HaEgel? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss the deposing of Gamliel in the background behind that? That's on Daf. Chav Zayin. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do we learn that one should not disparage a deceased Talmud Chacham? That's on Daf. Yotes. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day. Great learning.